I see we have several people that are visiting with us this morning. You are indeed a most welcome and a most honored guest. And whenever you are back here in the Lyndale area again, we hope that you'll come back and worship God together with us again. And to study with us from the Word of God whenever you are able and willing to. One other announcement that I forgot to tell the elders. Polly Latta, that is Patsy D. Patterson's sister, is in the hospital at Trinity Mother Frances Hospital on the fourth floor. So please keep her in your prayers that she too may recover from her illness. In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul here is speaking about the responsibility he was given by God to be a preacher of the gospel. The text reads, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." Actually, what I would like to get from this particular verse is just the very last phrase of it. Speaking about God and our relationship with God, the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit tells us that God tests our hearts. You find the same thing taught in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Here again, we learn from the Old Testament again that God does indeed search our heart and test our mind. The heart and the mind are the same thing. And what he's trying to do is find out what is in your heart. What are you really like? In our sermon this morning, we're going to be studying exactly how it is that God does indeed test and search the heart of every man in the world. And the question we're going to be asking is exactly what does he find when he looks in your heart? When you are given a test in a school, is to find out where you really are as far as what's inside your mind. And the idea of you being tested by God and your heart and mind being tested by God is to find out where you really are. The primary way you're going to be finding that God tests us is with His Word. You find this over in Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 12 where it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Here, speaking about the Word of God, it tells us it's living, it's powerful. And he talks about how it's able to divide in, even between joint and marrow. It is something that divides mankind. When the Word of God hits the world, it separates. It separates those that are going to be saved from those that are going to be lost. And it tells you in the close of this verse that the Word of God that is living and powerful, it is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart and my heart. When the Word of God hits your mind and hits your heart, it is going to determine and tell you what your heart is like. What you as a person are like. You find this over in the parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 8, a text I know you're familiar with, in verse 11 through 15, it says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." Now, I want you to see right up front, we're dealing with how the Word of God is going to be received by different people. Now there's something I want to tell you, and I want you to recognize in the text here. The wayside soil is wayside soil before the seed ever hits it. The rocky ground is rocky ground before the seed ever hits it. The thorny ground and the good ground, they are all what they are before the seed ever hits it. It is when the seed hits these different soils that you finally ultimately can deduce and determine what kind of soil they are by the way in which they receive the seed of the Word of God. That being said, now getting to verse 12, he says, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while in time of temptation fall away." I'll stop right there. I want you to see again in this text here, we're dealing with how people receive the Word of God. The rocky ground was rocky ground before the Word hit it. It is after the Word hits it that you ultimately can deduce that this is rocky ground. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is testing the heart of the man or the woman to determine what kind of person is this. It is doing, if you all point out earlier from Hebrews, the dividing process. The dividing between those that are going to be saved and those that are going to be lost. And whether you're going to be saved is going to be determined by what the Word of God proves about you. What the Word of God shows about you and what kind of person you are. The rocky ground, they receive the Word with joy. They believe for a while. If you've ever done any farming or any kind of gardening, you know that whenever you've got rocks in there, the roots can't go into the rock. And so it can't absorb the nutrients in the soil. And so as a consequence, whatever does grow there eventually dies because the roots can't run deep. Question for you. Are you rocky soil? You see, what's being described here is resisting the Word of God. Are you rocky soil to where the Word of God can go so far and you go, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, yes, I believe He died for my sins. He rose from the dead. Yes, I gladly receive that. Yes, I want to go to heaven. You mean I got to do that? I got to live this way? I got to repent? I got to change? No, whoa, come back here. I don't know about that now. You see, what happens is some people will go so far in receiving the Word of God, but then they stop and they go, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to let the Word of God mold me and shape me in that regard. And that's where they stop. As you go into this text, it's talking about someone receiving the Word of God and keeping it and holding on to it, letting it run deep and not resisting it. Look at this as we continue in verse 14. Now the one that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And then in verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The good ground is the good ground before the seed hits it. It is when the Word of God hits the good ground, and that good ground, that good soil, allows the seed to be received. And it doesn't fight against it. It just lets its roots run deep and run deeper and deeper and deeper. And as a consequence, notice in the close of this phrase, they keep the word. They keep it. They hear the word. They keep the word in their heart. And as a consequence of that, in the end, they bear all kinds of fruit in their life. The fruit of the Spirit. Going over to James chapter 1 and verse 21. Here this text is talking about how we are going to receive the Word of God. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. So here comes the Word of God, powerful living Word of God, able to discern the thoughts and the intents of your mind, your heart. This is how God tests you. He hits you with His Word, and the Word is doing the dividing and the separating. The Word is discerning what is your heart like. Is your heart hard ground? Is your heart rocky ground? Or is your heart good ground? Notice how He talks about the implanted Word. You receive it with meekness. That is the idea of just, yes, Lord, that's the truth. I will obey. Let God have His way with you always. Not just at the very beginning when you obey the gospel, but let the Word of God mold you and shape you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you. Let Him mold you. Let Him shape you. Quit fighting it. He says over in Romans 10 and 17, a text I know you're familiar with. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When you receive this Word that is able to save your souls, and you receive it in your heart, letting it be planted in your heart with meekness and humility, right off the bat, the first product is faith. The faith. Even the rocky ground, faith. Even the thorny ground, faith. Faith is the beginning product of the Word of God being received. But you need to understand it doesn't stop there. It is faith that is allowed to live and work in your life, that you live by, you walk by, and you humble yourself under the hand of God, that is molding you and shaping you into the child of God God wants you to be. Look at this again over in Thessalonians. Going back to 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Now notice this last part of this verse here. Which also effectively works in you who believe. So here we're dealing with those who believe. They've already received the word of God. It's already produced the faith. But now they're allowing this word of God to work effectively in them. How is that happening? That is when you are humbling yourself under the hand of God, revealed in the word of God, letting God mold you, shape you. I know you're familiar with John chapter 15, where Christ talks about how he is the vine and we are the branches. In the text there he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes. Now let's just stop right there. I've never grown grapes. Grown cotton. Never grown grapes. Seen them being grown, and I understand how they work. After they harvest them in at the end of the season, you know what they do with the grapevine? They go in and they start pruning it. And they're cutting back. And they're cutting back. And the reason they're pruning it is so in the next growing season, it will bear more fruit. You got to cut out the dead wood. Get back to the living. And then it will bear fruit. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. He talks here about how God prunes us. How is it that God prunes us? He says that you may bear more fruit. You are already clean. How is it? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. What he's talking about here is how you are pruned with the word of God. When you receive the word of God right off at the very beginning of your relationship with God and let it produce faith, great, that's good. Now, you need to realize it doesn't stop there. It never stops. The word of God is always discerning the thoughts and the intents of your heart after you obey the gospel and after you're a Christian. Will you let God prune you? Will you take the word of God and look into it and say, okay, Fancy, you got some changing you need to do. You got some areas in your life where you've got sin. You got weakness, you got problems here. And that's what you're going to find when you look into the spiritual mirror of the Word of God. It's going to show you where you really are. Always where you really are. And what we are expected to do is change. Repent. Cut out the dead wood. Continually let God mold you, shape you. Make you better, make you stronger, make you more like Christ every day. Continue to prune yourself with the Word of God so you can be, as he says in the text here, bear more fruit. You remember the good ground? They received the Word with joy. They kept the Word. They never let go of it. They kept the Word. And in the end, they were bearing fruit. That's the Christian life. God knows what it's going to take to get you to become the man or the Christian woman that you can be. And what you got to do is let God shape you and mold you. You can't fight His Word and say, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to go that way. I don't like that. I don't want to change. I don't want to repent. I want to keep this sin in my life and bear fruit. You need to understand, whenever you get to a point in time in your life and you say, I don't want to go that way, God. I don't want to submit myself to your will there. You just hit rock. You just hit the rocks. And the roots aren't running deep anymore. And you're starting to choke out. Don't resist. Don't fight. Receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save your soul. And never resist it. Let it mold you. Let it shape you.
let it prune you so you can bear fruit to the glory of God. Again, in John 15 and verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Again, I'm wanting you to see in the context here what he's talking about as far as the pruning and your being clean is his word abiding in you. The good ground keeps the word. It abides in him. He doesn't let go of it because of the difficulties of life. He doesn't let go of it because he doesn't like it, and so he's not going to submit to it. To the contrary, he holds on to it, he keeps it, he obeys it. You find the same comment taught over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Here I was teaching the same thing as John 15. The exact same thing. You let the Word of God abide in you. That you've heard from the beginning. If that Word is abiding in you, you're keeping it, then you will abide in the Father and the Son. You're connected to the vine, and you will bear much fruit. It's put this way in the Old Testament in Psalms 40 and verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is in my heart. So, you need to understand, you're being tested. You're being tested right now. And you're going to continue to be tested every time the Word of God hits your heart. And it is going to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. It is going to search out your heart and your mind and tell you where you really are. What you're wanting God to find when He tests your heart and search your mind, He wants you to find the law, the Word of God, in your heart. That's what He wants to find. To where you're keeping His Word in your heart. And not only are you keeping it, you're doing His will. You see that? You're keeping His Word in your heart, and you're doing His will in your life. That's what the Word of God does. That's how He tests us. That's how He tests everybody. The great divider. The Word of God. So what is He finding when it hits your heart? After the Word of God has been received and has been allowed to produce faith in the heart of the hearer, you need to understand that there's another type of testing that God does to that faith. In Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9, when was the last time you looked there? I love to bring up verses you've never seen. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and everyone will say, this, the Lord is my God. What I wanted to get from Zechariah, these two phrases here. How God is going to refine them as silver is refined, and here again, He's going to test them as gold is tested. Silver or gold, whenever you mine them in their raw core state, there's just a bunch of rock there. And the silver and the gold is running through it. In order to get the pure silver or the pure gold out, they have to go through the fire. And if you're ever going to go take gold and silver and try to sell it to anybody who buys it now, and there are a whole bunch of people doing it, when you take it in, you know what they're going to do? They're going to test it. That's right. You go take some silver and you say, I want to sell this to you. They're going to drop some liquids on it. They're going to say, oh, that's not silver. I'm not going to buy it. It's not real. You're going to try to sell them your gold. They're going to test it to see if it's real. Whenever we're talking about being tested here, as silver and gold is being tested and refined, it is the same process. In Psalm 66 and verse 10, for you, O God, have tested us. You refined us as silver is refined. So just like silver is refined and gold is refined, again, this is how God tests us. Well, what is it exactly that He's testing? 1 Peter explains it to you in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved with various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire,
may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Now let's take this text and let's break it down. Here he's talking about how you have been grieved by various trials, and what it is that he's trying to find out is the genuineness of your faith. That's what he's looking for. I went and talked to a pawn shop this past week, showing him some gold that I had found. And he put some liquid on it. I said, "What are you doing?" And after he put it on the stone, he said, "I'm trying to make sure this is genuine." He said, "Because they can make some really good fake gold." What God is doing whenever he tests you in your life, and you need to realize, you already have been tested. You're going to be tested time and time and time and time again. What is the point of God test in your life? It is to find out if your faith is genuine. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul speaking about Timothy there says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So what is genuine faith? It's real. It's real. And again, I was talking to the pawn shop broker the other day, and I said, "How can you tell it's gold?" And he said, "If it's gold, it's not going to go away. It's going to stay there." Whenever fire comes upon the rock silver and the rock gold, at the end of it is gold. The real deal, genuine, pure. And if you're going to try to sell it, they're going to make sure it's real, because there's fool's gold. Is your faith genuine? Is it real? That's what God wants to know. Because you understand, that's the key to your whole relationship with God. You are saved by grace through faith. So from our end, it's faith. So God wants to know, do you really have faith? Is your faith going to burn up if some kind of trial comes? Are you going to leave God if you have to go through some kind of suffering? Or is your faith genuine that will still be there after it goes through the fire? That's what this text is talking about. He says, getting back to it, you have been grieved by various trials. The trials are the way that your faith is being tested to determine whether or not your faith is genuine. Isaiah puts it this way in chapter 48 and verse 10. "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver." Look at the last part of this verse. "I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." There it is. The various trials he's talking about in Peter is affliction. The furnace of affliction. So, how does that make you feel? I got some bad news for you. You're going to suffer. You're going to get physically ill sometime. Everybody you know and everybody you love is going to die. You're going to have physical trials, emotional trials, spiritual battles. That's just the reality of the world that we're in. But you need to understand, you're being tested by God to find out, is your faith genuine? Or are you going to burn up in the middle of the test? Are you going to burn up in the furnace of affliction? Every single one of us must understand that we've got to go through trials in our life, physical, emotional, and even spiritual, to determine the genuineness of our faith and our relationship with God, and that it's not going to go away. That it will stay there all the way to the very end of your life. That's what God wants from you. He wants you and I to hold on to our faith, hold on to our trust, hold on to our confidence all the way to the very end of our life, not allowing anyone or anything to cause us to draw back from God and leave God. I know you're familiar with the story of Job. Do you remember what it was that Satan said to God? Take away his wealth. Take away his blessings. He'll curse you to your face. Job didn't do that. When Job lost all of his wealth, when he lost all 10 of his children, he fell to the ground, he worshiped God, he turned to God. Even when his wife came to him in the second chapter and said, Job, you still retain your integrity, curse God and die. Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. What shall receive good from the hand of God and not evil? And all this Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. As you go further into the book of Job, the great verse that I see in it is when Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what God wants from you. Job went through the furnace of affliction and held on to his faith all the way. That is what God wants of you and I. Do not think because difficult things are happening to you in life and you're suffering and you're going through trials that God has left you and God doesn't love you. That's what Satan's going to whisper in your ear. If God loved you, this wouldn't happen to you. Do not leave God. Do not draw back in unbelief because of the furnace of affliction. Hold on to your faith in the fire. And understand your faith has to go through the fire in order to produce what it is that God's trying to get to. Over in James chapter 1 now in verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. There are the trials again. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. When the faith is tested and you go through the furnace of affliction, and the faith continues and you hold on to it as Job held on to his. Though God slay him, he was going to trust him. Regardless of what happened, he was going to trust the Lord. That's what God wants. He wants your faith to be genuine. To not go away because of fire. To not go away because of trials. But to go through it. Because you see, after faith has gone through the furnace of affliction, what comes out on the other side is patience, the testing of your faith. When it remains, and the faith isn't burned up in the affliction, it produces patience. And he continues in the fourth verse, and he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay, you've obeyed the gospel. Good, good, good. That's great. I'm glad you received the word with joy under your heart and let it produce faith. Now, let it work effectually in your life. Let it mold and shape you as you repent by faith. Letting the word of God mold and shape your life, not resisting, not fighting against it, not being the rocky ground, but being the good ground that lets it run down, receiving the word with meekness. Letting it run down deep. Letting it mold and shape as you keep the word of God in your heart and obey His will. And then when the trials come, don't let your faith burn up. Hold on to your faith in the middle of the storm. Because God understands you're still lacking something. There's something you need and I need in order to be complete. And what it is we need in order to be complete, to be the men and women Christians that God wants us to be, is patience. And the only way patience can be produced is by faith going through the furnace of affliction. Hebrews 10:36, and we'll close with this. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You see, for you to make it all the way to the very end of the race with your faith, you got to have patience. You got to endure. You got to have genuine faith, the real deal. So, are you passing the test? You're all being tested. I'm being tested. Even every day. The test is every day. And the test is, are you going to let the Word of God mold and shape your life? After you receive the Word of God, okay, that's great. But Are you going to start fighting and say, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to go that way. No, I'm going to resist. If that's the case, you're the rocky ground. You're the rocky ground, and eventually you just completely let go of it. Don't be rocky ground. Even if you're rocky ground now, you can change. You see, you can change your heart. You can change your mind. You can go from being rocky ground to being good ground. How do you do that? You do that by quit resisting. Quit fighting against God with meekness, humility, soft, good earth. Let His word run deep. Do not be proud and resist the hand of God. Be clay in the potter's hand. Let Him mold you. Let Him make you after His will. Let Him shape your life. Your life can be great if you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You're being tested. In the very end of time and judgment day, do you know what's going to take place? The Word that is the great divider. The Word that is the discerner in the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of mankind. That Word is going to be opened. And it's going to divide you. It's going to divide you between the lost and the saved. The words that Christ has spoken are going to judge you in the last day. The books are going to be opened. And you're going to be judged by what's written the Word. Which side are you going to fall on? Which side are you on? Are you going to be on the side of the saved or on the side of the lost? It's determined by you and what's in your heart. If what's in your heart now is rocky ground, change it. You change it. You repent. You submit. You become humble. You with meekness now receive the Word. Let it produce the faith. If you want to become a child of God, confess your faith. Repent of your sins. Putting off the old man by faith, putting on the new man by faith. And as I told you many times, repentance is linear. Living, walking by faith is linear. It is a continual process of letting God mold and shape your life. If you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already, you have faith in your life, you've obeyed the gospel, but now you've become stubborn, you've become rocky ground or thorny ground, I want to encourage you, change. Quit fighting. Meekness, receive His word. Quit fighting. Be the clay in the potter's hand. Quit fighting. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you if you are willing to come back to the Father and submit yourself to His will. We'll do the best we can to encourage you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs that have been selected for you.